Amen. Well, thank you for being here this morning. I hope you have a handout. There are a few blanks, as always, to fill in, but I'll let you know when they'll come up. The title of this morning's lesson is The Forgotten Subject. The Forgotten Subject. This year we've been looking at a series entitled With Christ in the School of Faith. Now, the Bible tells us that the moment you and I receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God puts us into a school. And some of you, like me, had times where you didn't like school, and sometimes you did. But whether we like it or not, God has put us into a path of education. But it's not just like the schooling we used to have. This is a spiritual education. It is a lifelong period of growth. That's why we entitled it The School of Faith. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, we see some wonderful examples of those who have gone before us, who lived by faith. And then we are challenged in Hebrews chapter 12 to also do the same. And we've been learning some wonderful lessons about what this school of faith is like. Now, remember, God's ways are not like our ways. God's school is not like the world's school. He teaches us in His own way, and His way is best. This morning, we are going to look at another lesson here from the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. So if you can turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, you'll find the verses also in your notes, in your handouts. But notice with me Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews chapter 12, notice what the author writes in verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. So what is it that these believers forgot? What is it that the Apostle Paul, I believe, was writing to remind them of? What was this lesson? Notice what the Bible says in verse 5. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So the subject we're looking at this morning is the chastening of the Lord, the forgotten subject. Now, we know that the Lord chastens his own children, don't we? We know that. If I were to tell you that, you wouldn't be surprised at that, but so often we forget. We forget that he does. We forget that that's the reality of the Christian life. That is why the author says we need to be reminded of this important truth. Now, how many of you remember back in school being in maths class and not really enjoying it that much? You know, some of you enjoyed maths, that's great. You probably had another subject you didn't enjoy. Now, if we were to sit down this morning and hand out an exam, a high school maths exam, how well would you and I do? You know, back then, maybe we could cram and remember some things and, you know, we just memorize things to get through the tests to pass. But how well would you and I do today? Well, to be honest with you, I wouldn't do that well in algebra. And if we go into the high school maths and all the formulas, remember, that you had to remember, we wouldn't do that well. Why? Because we've forgotten it. Simply put, we've forgotten what we have learned. Now, the same is true with the Word of God. If we forget the reality of the Christian life, then if we're not continuing to be reminded, I should say, and continue to grow in the truths of God's Word, then we'll forget. We'll forget. And when we forget the truths of God's Word and the Christian life, how many of you understand we often get into trouble? We can oftentimes fall into a place of misery and woe. And we need to remember what God's Word says. Verse 5 says, notice there with me, that this is the exhortation, that word means encouragement, to build up, which speaketh unto you. So God's Word continues to speak to us, doesn't it? God wants us to continue to be reminded about certain things. And this is one subject that so often we forget about, the chastening of the Lord. Now, this is a two-part lesson. And just as a way of introduction, we're going to look at some simple truths, because this is one of the main focuses of Hebrews chapter 12. See, if you and I want to live by faith, we mustn't forget this truth, because this is important to understand when it comes to God's school of faith that He's put us in. Well, notice there in your blanks, in your notes, Roman numeral number 1, the first blank, God chastens us as His children. Your first blank is the word chasten. If you need a little help with the spelling, they're on the bottom of the back page. First blank is the word chasten. God chastens us as His children. Now we need to remember this important truth above all of them. God doesn't deal with us as unbelievers. If we are saved, God doesn't deal with us as if we have rejected Him. God, in fact, chastens us, the Bible says, as His what? As His children. The Bible says very clearly, which speaketh unto you as unto children. And it's an amazing fact, when you and I receive Christ as Savior, we become a born-again child of God. The moment in our lives when we repent of our sins once and for all, and we put our faith in Jesus Christ to save us, we trust in His shed blood, we trust in His resurrection, we believe in Him, we ask Him to save us from our sins, the Bible says we become His child. Now, if you and I forget that, if we forget that we are His children, then life can become very miserable, can't it? Life can become very confusing. In fact, the events in our lives can become very confusing and overwhelming, and we can even start to blame God and doubt God for what He is doing. Now, the word chasten here in Hebrews chapter 12, it means to educate or to train. When you and I think of chastening, what do you and I think of? Spanking, that's right, because the Bible uses the word chastening in the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, when it comes to our children. And in fact, the Bible says if you don't chasten your children, you don't love them. If you don't correct them, then you're not protecting them. If your child is just free to run across the road and you don't correct them, then you're not loving them. You're allowing them to run into danger. And so God does the same thing in our lives. He chastens us because He loves us. We are His children. And the word chasten means to educate, to train. You see, this is part of the school of faith. You and I have been placed into a school to live by faith, the lifelong Christian journey, and part of that education is the application of God's chastening in our lives. And just quickly, if we want to graduate with a good report from the Christian life, we need to learn how God works. Amen? We need to not forget this reality, because it is part of our education as Christians. All right, Roman numeral number two. God rebukes us as His children. God rebukes us as His children. Notice in verse 5, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him." Rebuked. God rebukes us. God rebukes us. Now, how many of you here this morning are like me and you don't like to be rebuked? What does the word rebuke mean? To tell a fault. How many of you this morning like to be told that you're wrong? No one likes that. Initially, in fact, all of us, I would say, rebel against the initial point when you and I are told that we're wrong. But God says rebuke is part of the Christian life. God says, in fact, we need it. God says without rebuke, in fact, we cannot grow in our faith. Now, you might hear a rebuke from a godly Christian friend. You might hear a rebuke from your Sunday school teacher or from the preaching of God's word. But you see, rebuke is part of the Christian life. You know, why do some people come to church and say, "Well, I'm never coming back to this church because I just don't feel good. I came to feel good in going to church. I want to feel better about myself." And then when they come and they sit under the Word of God and they don't feel comfortable, some people say, "Well, I don't want to come back." Why is it? because God is rebuking them because He loves them and He's doing a work in their hearts to protect them instead of allowing them to go down a path of destruction. You see, we need God's rebuke, but we forget that, don't we? We resist being rebuked. We resist being told that we are wrong, but God says, hey, this is good for you. Listen, when we are rebuked of God, that's not something to run away from, is it? You see, if we forget that we're His children, we'll be miserable. Because when rebuke comes, we'll start to feel bad instead of rejoicing and saying, you know, because God's rebuking me, well, what does that mean? Now, the Bible says, if a so-called friend always tells you what you want to hear and never corrects you, what kind of friend are they? They're a false friend. They're not a friend at all. They're just flattering you because they want something from you. But a real friend will, in love, tell you when you're in danger, when you're doing the wrong thing, when there's an issue in your life and they love you, they want to protect you. See, that's why God rebukes us. So when we're rebuked of the Lord, we should be comforted in our hearts that God loves us that much to speak to us and to say, hey, I love you as a child. And my child, I want to protect you. Therefore, this needs to change. This needs to be confessed. This needs to be put aside. That is the love of God. His rebuke is His love. You see, this is the forgotten subject, isn't it? Because so often when we're rebuked, we disappear from church and we don't come back for a month. Or at least we want to if we don't do that. Rebuke is part of God's education. The good thing is, God knows everything about us. Now, as a parent, I think I know everything about my children, but I don't. I see some things, but then I miss some things. And my chastening is not perfect because I'm not perfect, but God is perfect. That means that when He rebukes us, He knows everything. He knows the inner depths of our heart. In fact, He knows things that we're not willing yet to admit. And I've experienced in my life so often God would rebuke me time and time again. And I say, Lord, that's not me. Lord, You must be preaching to that person on the other side of the church. Lord, I think that's a good lesson. How many of you have ever said that in your heart for that guy back there? And at the end of the day, wow, months later, we realize that was for me. And we're reading the Word of God and God rebukes us. Friends, that is His love, that He's patient with us. And He rebukes us as His children. And we need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit when God lovingly, but seriously, rebukes us. You see, God chastens us as His children. He rebukes us as His children. Thirdly, God loves us as His children. Your third blank in your notes is the word loves. Now, by the way, I'm not just making this up. The Word of God tells us very clearly, verse 6. Have a look with me there in your notes or in your Bibles, verse 6. For whom the Lord, what's the next word? Loveth, He chasteneth. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. You see, chastening is a loving act of God. If He did not chasten us, He would not love us. If He did not chasten us, in fact, the Bible says in verse number 8, then we are in fact not even Christians. We're not saved. One evidence that we have never received Christ as our Savior is the lack of God's chastening in our lives. If He doesn't correct us, if He doesn't chasten us, then we are not even His children. But you see, if we are chastened by the Lord, He deals with us as sons because He loves us, because we are His children. Now, it is possible to chasten someone without loving them. Isn't that true? It is possible to do that in anger. You know, as parents, we need to be careful not to get angry, to give place unto wrath. That's not how we ought to chasten our children. But God is perfect. Isn't that true? Would you agree with me this morning that God's love is perfect? Yes or no? God's knowledge of our lives is perfect. Isn't that right? God's ways are perfect. God's chastening is unselfish. He doesn't want anything from you. Sometimes we chasten our children because, well, we're just angry they didn't do what I say. Rather than teaching them what is right and what is wrong, the focus is me. I'm angry. They just didn't do what I wanted them to do. That's not always the right motive either. What is right? What is wrong? That the Bible tells us how we should raise our children, and oftentimes we are not perfect as parents, but God is perfect. He is unselfish in His chastening. You see, God's ways are never ways that you and I could stand back and say, Lord, that's not fair. You know, there's no such thing. And yet so often, don't we? Let's be honest. So often we say, Lord, this is not fair what You've allowed into my life. Lord, this is not fair what You're doing in my life. And we forget that He loves us. He loves us with a perfect love. And that's how we need to see, do we not, the life of faith that we're in. You see, if we miss it, if we forget it, then we're in big trouble. We're in a place of misery. But if we remember this exhortation that God loves us, He rebukes us and He deals with us as children, we have courage, we have strength to go on in faith, don't we? We have strength to run the Christian life. Why do so often we faint, collapse in the race? Because we forget the way God works in our life. We think, hey, I can run if everything's going well, but if everything falls apart, that's it for the Christian life. Friends, that's not how it works with God. He must chasten us to help us to run well. See, it's dangerous to forget God's love. You know, when we're chastened, what does the devil whisper in our ear? What are some things he whispers in your ear, mine? Yeah, God doesn't love you anymore. What kind of God is this? He doesn't love you. If He's let this into your life, has the devil ever whispered that in your ear before? If you're a Christian, I'm sure he has. But that's not true. That's not true at all. And the devil might even say, hey, look at that lost, unbelieving, God-rejecting guy across the road. I mean, this guy's got it made. And your life is full of problems. Has he ever whispered in your ear that before? Yeah. You see, it's very dangerous to forget the love of God. Very dangerous. We need to remember, the Bible says, for whom the Lord, what's the next word? Loveth, He chasteneth. If God is chastening you, friends, God loves you. God loves you. He is chastening you to protect you. He is chastening you to help you. He is chastening you to encourage you. You know, I've heard people say, well, I didn't have this many problems when I was lost. I've got more problems now as a Christian than I was before. Why? Because God in His love is helping us, protecting us. He doesn't let us go our own way. He doesn't let us go down a path of destruction that would destroy our lives and the lives of our children and others. No, He loves us too much. So He chastens us. And the Bible, as I mentioned, says that if a parent doesn't chasten their child, they don't love them. So therefore, God will correct us. It's a simple truth. And by the way, we all know this, isn't it true? We all know it. But we forget. That's our problem. Not whether we know this truth, but we forget it. We don't live in the light of God's Word. So we forget that God does love us. Notice fourthly, we've seen that God rebukes us, He loves us. Notice fourthly, God scourges us as His children. The Bible says in verse 6, your blank is the word scourges, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. God scourges us as His children. Now this is where things get a little bit uncomfortable, because rebuke is verbal. That means God speaking to us verbally. God tells us a fault. But the word scourge goes beyond the verbal. That's the physical. That word describes Christ, the physical punishment that Christ received from the Roman soldiers, the whipping, the suffering that Christ endured before the cross. That's what this word describes, the word scourge. Scourge. The Bible says God scourgeth us and he chasteneth us, scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. See, oftentimes I don't listen to God's rebuke. So God needs to get my attention. Why? Because he loves me. And I don't listen. And I'm hard-hearted. And I don't want to admit that sin is there. And I don't want to admit that it's a big problem or it's even anything bad at all. I think it's okay. It'll be right. No one knows. So therefore, it's fine. And God says, okay, well, if you're not going to listen to my rebuke, in my love, I need to do more. I need to do more. I need to get your attention. Christian, do you know when God is scourging you? Do you know when he is? You see, that's why we need to walk with the Lord. If we're not walking with the Lord in his word, we are in a place of misery, a place of hopelessness, a place of emptiness, because we have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you. Because if we understand what God is doing in our lives, we will respond to his scourging. But what do we often do? Well, we blame someone else. We blame someone else. We say, hey, that's their fault this is happening to me. You know, that's it must be them. They've done this to me. Or sometimes we say, well, this is just bad luck. You know, I must just be an unlucky Christian. Friends, in the Bible, there's no such thing as luck. See, God knows us. His chastening is specific. And let me carefully say this as well. The word chastening is not just a God's response to sin. It's not just God's response to sin. You see, the Bible says that the word chasten means to educate, means to train. In fact, if we're not chastened, we're not a Christian. Every Christian will be chastened. It's not just because of sin. God is working in our lives to help us to grow as a Christian. You see, Job's friends made the mistake of blaming Job for secret sins that they thought he had when he didn't. He was experiencing the chastening of God. Job was being scourged, but he didn't have any sin. He was a sinful man, but it wasn't a direct response to sin. Does that make sense? God didn't say, Job, you've done this. I need to chasten you as a result to help you to turn back to me. No, that wasn't the case. You see, God's chastening is not just a direct response to sin. But we need to understand that he loves us. And we need to be sensitive to God's leading and say, Lord, in your school of faith, what are you trying to teach me? Amen? What are you trying to teach me? You see, if we don't learn from our maths class and school, then we won't pass the grade. Amen? We won't graduate from school if we don't pass. Same with God's school of faith. If we don't learn the lesson, God needs to continue to re-teach us. And how many of you are like me, and you're in God's school of faith, and you would admit God's teaching me the same lesson over and over in different ways? And some areas I've had victory over, and then God doesn't deal with me in that area, then he deals with me in another area, and then when I've forgotten that and I've fallen back into this, God will deal with me there again. And he'll help me to grow. He'll help me to have victory. And I know I'm not the same as I was before, but he's still doing much work in my life. There's still much to do. You see, we're all in the same boat. But we need to remember that he does scourge us. We need to ask, Lord, what are you teaching me? Lastly, let me encourage you with this thought. And as I said, there's another lesson next time we meet. God receives us as his children. Point number 5. God receives us. Now, here is what we need to be careful not to forget. Because we see the scourging, we see the chastening, but we cry out, why? Why? Well, here's the answer. Verse number 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he loves us, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he, what's the last word? Receiveth. What is the purpose of God's correction? What is the purpose of his chastening? What's the big picture we're given? God wants to receive us. He wants us to be near to him. He wants us to be close to him. He loves us. Sin separates us from God.
And He loves you, Christian, too much to watch you run away at a distance and let you go down a path of destruction. He loves you too much to let you go. Can you see the picture of God's love? Now, you and I as parents, we'll do everything we can to keep our children. But God is not like you and I. He is able to get our attention, to scourge us, to chasten us, because He loves us. He loves us. He desires us to be near to Him. That's the whole goal of chastening. Isaiah 55 and verse 7, the whole verse is not in your notes, just the reference, but the Bible says in Isaiah 55, 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. What an amazing truth. Return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Friends, that is the love of God. God didn't love you and I. He would just let us do our own thing and go our own way with no correction at all. Sadly, many parents are like that today. That's not love. That's neglect. That's laziness. That's selfishness. You know, when I don't want to correct my children, I don't want to get up out of my seat. I couldn't be bothered. Why? Why don't I correct them? Because I'm lazy. I'm tired. It's been a big day. How many of you have been there before, parents? You know, let them just do what they want. And let them leave them be. I'll deal with them tomorrow. That's not how God deals with us, because His love is perfect. He wants us to be near to Him. He wants us to know Him personally. He wants us to experience the Christian life, but He knows that disobedience and sin will rob us from a close relationship with Him. Disobedience and sin will be like weights in the Christian life. We can't run by faith with those weights. He knows we won't grow. He knows we won't be used of God. So therefore, we must be corrected. And God is so loving, He will work with us to bring us to that place of returning to the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? I hope you're glad about the times that God worked in your life, like He has in mine, to return us to Him, to bring us closer to Him. Friends, don't forget this subject. Don't forget it. Because this is God's school of faith. This is God's love. And lastly, just on a serious note, God is serious. Amen? We talk about God, but even in our preaching and our teaching, let me be honest, the holiness of God is still much greater than I can speak of. You know, have you ever sat in the Word of God and spent time in His Word and realized, wow, God is much more serious, God is much more holy, God is much more righteous than I take Him for? See, God is serious. The Bible says that he that often being reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. God says if we won't listen, if we won't allow Him to rebuke us, if we won't respond to His scourging, we're in big trouble. We're in big trouble. We'll have to face the consequences of our actions. And none of us desire that. None of us desire that. But in the school of faith, let's be honest, even though our sins are forgiven, we know we have a home in heaven as born-again Christians, we can still not graduate with a good report. We can still experience the same pains, agonies, and consequences of sin, just like the average lost person. Their end is different, but sin still destroys. Sin still reaps destruction in our lives. So God is serious. God is serious. And He won't let us go down that path. I trust you're thankful this morning. So what is it that God is doing in your life? How does God want you to respond after we've learnt these things this week? Do you need to ask the Lord, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Lord, how can I grow through this? Lord, help me to know that this is your love and I am in the process, though it doesn't feel comfortable right now. That's what the Bible says, doesn't it? Doesn't feel comfortable, but in the end, just like Job, we shall come forth as gold. Amen? if we respond. We'll see that further in this wonderful book. But just as an introduction, the forgotten subject. Don't forget. Amen? Don't forget. God's love, God's ways, and if we allow Him to do His work, we can live a life of faith. Amen? We can go forward.